Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hey everybody, welcome into another episode of the Investing in Real Estate podcast. I am Clayton Morris, your humble host, and this is the show where we focus on buy and hold real estate for the purposes of creating passive income and legacy wealth for you and your family. And we've talked a lot of different strategies here on the show over the years, all everything from buying billboards and, you know, buying storage facilities and, you know, my bread and butter, which is single family homes and duplexes. But today we're going to be talking about raw land. Now, this is something I've definitely done in the past, bought and sold raw land, but we're going to talk with the foremost expert in the field of it. His name is Mark Podolsky, a.k.a. the Land Geek. He's widely considered the country's most trusted and foremost authority on buying and selling raw, undeveloped land within the United States. He's been actively investing in real estate and raw land since 2001, and he's completed over 5,000 unique transactions. Mark joins us now. Mark, welcome to the show.
Clayton Morris, I'm so glad to be here. Thank you.
Well, it's a real treat to have you here on the show. And, you know, I'm familiar with the idea of buying and selling raw land, but I, you know, get to talk to the expert here on this. And, you know, we talk about, and we'll get into the idea of passive income with raw land in a little bit. But first of all, take me back. What struck your fancy about getting involved in purchasing just vacant raw land, nothing on it, maybe a tumbleweed rolling by?
You know, I think a lot of it had to do with my ignorance. So I'd never invested in real estate. I was kind of like this blank slate, if you will, because I was just kind of miserable with my day job. I was a really unhappy investment banker working with private equity groups doing mergers and acquisitions. And I wouldn't get like the Sunday blues anticipating Monday coming around. I'd get the Friday blues, anticipating the weekend going by really fast and having to be back at work on Monday. So, you know, my firm hired this guy and he's telling me, he goes to these tax deed auctions. He buys up land for pennies on the dollar and he flips it online and he makes a 300% return on investment. So Clayton, I'm looking at companies all day long and I'm telling you, a great company has 15% EBITDA margins. Right? Free cash flow, 15%. Your average company is at 10%. And I'm looking at companies all day long, less than 10%. So that's really how I kind of got into it, is I just followed this guy and you know, he was right. Like, I just started buying and flipping raw land and I was making 300% margins.
Wow. So you buy and flip. That's your bread and butter. But another strategy, of course, is holding it. But I want to talk about the flipping part for a minute, because I've definitely done this and I made a small profit. I probably did it wrong. You know, I didn't do it to the level that you do it. For me, I was like, okay, is this a distraction? Should I be, you know, because I was into houses, should I be going in this direction? Because I don't like to be, when I do something, I don't like to be like an octopus and have one arm and everything. And I really feel like when you do that, then you lose focus, you know, because you're stepping forward into one thing and then that means you're stepping away from something else. If I would have done it correctly, I know that I could have done well with it. So talk about just the flipping of raw land. First of all, where are you finding these pieces of land?
So let me kind of walk you through my model, because today I don't really flip. I'm more a buy and hold on a land contract.
Oh, great.
And I make it cash flow. So when I first started, I did flips, which was a huge mistake, because now I make 300 to 1,000% with owner financing. So I'll kind of walk you through it. So the first thing is like, Clayton, nobody wakes up and thinks to themselves, boy, I'd really like some raw land in Minnesota today.
Right.
Right. Unless you live in Minnesota. Right. So we focus on the Southwest, a little bit in the Northwest, California and Florida. So your sunshine states and areas where there's tons of raw land. Right. Just one county in Texas has like 28,000 parcels of raw undeveloped land that has back taxes owed. So what we want to do is, you know, we start with our county research. We find these counties. We know definitively we can do deals there. And then we go to the county assessor and we get the list of real property. Now we can go to the treasurer or the assessor. I like to start with the treasurer and get the list of people that owe back taxes. And then we'll scrub that list and we'll get rid of all the industrial property, the commercial property, and we'll get down to our use code of vacant land. And then what we'll do is we'll look at the comps. For example, let's say that these half acre parcels are selling for $10,000. Then we'll divide by four. And that will give us our, what Warren Buffett would call our margin of safety of 300%. Right. And so what we're going to do, Clayton, is we're not going to send to them a letter saying, hey, we're interested in buying your land. Right. We don't want to be in the appraisal business. We will send them an actual offer for their property. And 3 to 5% of people will accept that offer because they owe back taxes. Right. So if they owe back taxes, they live out of state. That's our lowest hanging fruit. And then what we'll do is our due diligence. We'll go through our checklist, make sure there's ingress and egress, and the back taxes owed aren't too much. There's no liens or encumbrances. We got clean title, all the typical stuff, right? Then we own the property, and then guess what? We've got a best built-in buyer. It's our only big advantage in raw land. Do you know what our best buyer is?
No.
The neighbors,
right.
So we send out neighbor letters and saying, hey, before we go to the open market with this, we're going to give you the first opportunity to protect your view, get a larger parcel. Now, if the neighbors pass, then we will go to our buyers list. If the buyers list passes, we go to a little website you probably never heard of called Craigslist. And then we automate that so we can put up 128 ads with a click of a button now. We also automate our Facebook ads as well in buy-sell groups. So within 30 days, we have that property sold. And the way I like to sell it is I like to get my money out on the down payment or within 6 to 12 months of the down payment. And then we make it a car payment, right? So we own or finance it on a land contract. There's no cost of foreclosure. And let's say $449 a month at 9% for 10 years. So now I've got this one-time sale. I have passive income of $449 coming in every single month, but I have to deal with any renters, no rehabs, no renovations, no rodents. Because I'm not dealing with a tenant, I'm exempt from Dodd-Frank, RESPA, and the SAFE Act. So for me, it's really the ideal passive income model because it's so simple and I've got it 90% automated with software.
That's great. Now, there's so many benefits of this strategy. So when you pick up a piece of raw land, are you closing on it with cash? Or you can't get a loan, right? So if you're, you know, you got that $10,000 parcel, you're breaking it into four, and then you're buying it for that certain amount of money, that $2,500, you're coming out of pocket to pick that up then, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, essentially, yeah, it's either we'll use investor money, we'll use our own money. There's money out there. And when our returns are so high,
right?
You know, we can borrow it 100%. It doesn't matter. It becomes irrelevant.
So when you're – okay, so then the typical owner of this property or the person who would want then to pay you with owner financing, why – When you're dealing with these people, you put it out on Craigslist or you go to the neighbor first, right? So tell me your pitch to the neighbor, because like we have a lake house up in Pennsylvania, and there's a plot of vacant land next to us, and guess what? Go on a tax sale, you know, like there's
right.
You know, so I know these, you know, I know that this is the case, right? That they're this somebody owns it, and then they just got sidetracked. They maybe were going to build on it, they never did, and God knows, you know, who knows why they go through these processes, right? They inherited the property, you know, they end up, you know, it just kind of fell into their lap. They don't know what to do with grandma's old piece of land, right?
Right.
So, but this property, there's one property next door to me, and it's also lakefront, and it sits there. And this guy tried to sell it years ago, and there was a sign up for him to sell it when we first bought ours. He never was able to sell it. It's still sitting there, you know, vacant, still never sold. And he was asking a ridiculous price for it. And I often say to my wife, I'm just going to send him an offer, you know, for for that, for what I think the property would be, you know, like a fraction of the cost, but I'll take it off his hands because I guarantee you he's getting nobody else sending him an offer in the mail. So what is your pitch to a neighbor? Can you walk me through that?
Yeah. I mean, I would just say to him, you know, well, you know, for me, I own the property and I'm going to the neighbors as buyers, but you, as far as, you know, trying to get your lakefront property, this guy to sell it to you, I would just send an offer. I would say, hey, I'm interested in buying this property at this amount.
Right.
You know, in like a little sign, like a little contract, you know, sign it contingent upon our due diligence. We'll close it in 7 to 14 days.
Yeah.
And that's it. So I don't want to be in the appraisal business. I don't want to negotiate all day long. And so I'm dealing with, you know, people that just
send
back our offers. Yeah. The low hanging fruit.
Today's episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Oh, yeah. Are you in need of great talent for your business, but you're short on time to find that person? Well, I know that we go through that here at Morris Invest. You don't have to get lost in a huge stack of resumes to find your perfect hire. You just need the right tools, smarter tools, and that's what ZipRecruiter does. So with ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click. So you don't have to go through all 100 job boards. You can do it with one click. I love that. You can rest easy knowing that your job is being seen by the right candidates. Then ZipRecruiter puts its smart matching technology to work. So it's actively notifying qualified candidates about your job within minutes of posting. So they're going to get a notification. So you'll receive the best possible matches. Then that's why ZipRecruiter is different, because unlike other hiring sites that are out there, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on the right candidates finding you. It goes out and finds them. I love it. So it's no wonder that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. That's been our experience here at Morris Invest as we expand. So ZipRecruiter, it's the smartest way to hire. I stand by it. We use it. We love it. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by growing businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And get this, my listeners to this podcast, you can go and post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. For free. All you have to do is go to ZipRecruiter.com/investing. ZipRecruiter.com/investing. So one more time, get it for free. Try it out. Post your jobs on there. You have nothing to lose because it's free if you use this URL, ZipRecruiter.com/investing. Thanks, ZipRecruiter. So let's say you were to come to me, right? Because now maybe you had this plot of land next to my house now under contract. You're going to buy this plot of land. What would your pitch to me be as the homeowner who has this big parcel sitting vacant next to me?
Yeah. Hey, Clayton, I'm going to put this property in the market in 14 days. I wanted to let you know that before I go to the open market that I'm giving you first right of refusal to invest in this land, protect your view, protect your privacy, expand your holdings, make your banker really happy with an improved balance sheet that you own another real asset in this area. Contact me here and let's discuss it in further detail. And that's it. It's really simple.
That's great. Now, the incentive to me, because now the passive income piece. So I could come to you and say, hey, Mark, yeah, great. I'd like to buy it from you for $10,000. That's not as attractive to you as the passive income piece. So explain that structure and strategy.
Right. So I want to get my money out with that $2,500 out as a down payment or, you know, something close to that. So I'm getting my money out.
Like your initial
investment. Yeah, my initial investment. And that way I'm getting the biggest buyer pool as possible, right? Not everybody's Clayton Morris that can just plunk $10,000 down on a piece of raw land, right? But also a lot of people can afford, they don't even care that it's $10,000. They don't care that it's $20,000. They're looking at, can I afford that monthly payment? And so we just keep doing this again and again and again. And we own the property in a land contract. So there's no cost of foreclosure. So if you stop paying me, Clayton, you're $449 a month, you've got 30 days to cure. And I'll have that property sold within, you know, 30 days, or I'll have a backup buyer. I'll get another down payment. And now I've just expanded my note even longer, and I've got a higher ROI.
Yeah, that's great. Now, what's the length of time you usually structure these notes?
I have notes that are as short as 3 years all the way to 30 years. It just depends on the parcel.
And give me the typical type of buyer. Like, you know, in the Southwest, what is a typical person who's going to be, you know, forking over $499 a month look like for you?
So, you know, typically there's somebody that is what I call a legacy investor. So they kind of grew up hearing, hey, you should own raw land. Or they're a prepper. There's somebody hoping for the best, but preparing for the worst. They want something to bug out to. Recreational owners. But oftentimes, you know, 1% of the time I get somebody calling me and say, hey, I want to move my family out there. And we're like 30 miles from the nearest town. I'll say, look, this isn't the right property for you.
Right.
You know, like this, there's nothing out there. There's no power. You know, you're gonna have to dig a well. The well could cost more than the actual parcel. That's a pass for you. But if I get something that's more in the development, I'll let you know in that area. So, but yeah, I mean, most of the time it's somebody that just wants to own raw land. It's I call it man jewelry. It just makes them feel good to own these 40 acres, right? And have that property.
So now they're paying you consistently. What can they do with the land? I mean, yes, they can keep, so it unobstructs their view, right? So if I were to, you called me up and I have this lake house and next door to me is this vacant piece of land. I don't want anyone building next to me. Great. I now can keep that vacant. My kids can go kind of exploring and, you know, go down the little creek and, but I'm never going to have a house to stare at. That's one reason. What's another reason, or give me a couple of reasons why someone would want to secure this land?
A lot of times people want it as security. So they want a real asset to own, just like you'd want to own gold and silver. They want something real and tangible as an investment. So they would use it like that. They would use it recreationally. They would want something to camp on. You know, it's weird. Like I sold a property a couple weeks ago to a guy in Colorado. And I said, what are you going to do on this land? He's like, well, I don't know if you know, this is a 5-acre parcel. He's like, but there's rattlesnakes out there. I said, oh, I didn't know that. He's like, and I hunt rattlesnakes. So he bought the 5-acre. And then, you know, a few days later, his buddy calls and wants the adjoining lot because he also hunts rattlesnakes. So, you know, I'm famous for saying that there's a pig for every barn.
Right.
Just because you and I probably wouldn't buy that property doesn't mean that somebody wouldn't. And honestly, like, I've never been stuck with a piece of property. I had somebody buy property on the side of a mountain in New Mexico. No access. Loved it. And I'm like, what are you buying this for? He's like, well, I'm a director in LA and I want to film out there and I don't want to, you know, deal with having to get permits. So the price was right. He bought it.
Wow. So when you, what are you able to do? Are you able to do things like, you know, drill for oil, you know, grow cotton on there, install like wind turbines, any of that kind of stuff? Because you're leasing the land technically from you, Mark, am I able to do whatever I want with it?
You can if you can make any improvements with my contract. Now, if you stop paying me, I keep those improvements. So, yeah, go ahead. Go crazy. So typically the property I buy, there's very few restrictions.
Wow. Now I know some of the cons that people talk about are it's very hard, as you mentioned, to determine the value of the land. You don't want to get into the appraisal business. Do you find that it's difficult to find the value of the land? I mean, because what if you're looking at these plots out in the middle of nowhere, if something hasn't sold for years, like you really have anything to go off of, your best guess?
I'll take the assessed value and I'll divide by 4. And that's really low.
Nice. So you're just taking the tax assessed value and that's kind of what you're presenting in your offer to someone, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But usually, I mean, in the areas that I'll buy, there is a history. I'm not going to go somewhere where there's no buyers or there's no sellers or there's no market. I want to go where the market is.
Now you'd mentioned egress and ingress. So talk a little bit about that. I mean, if there's no road getting there, do you look for power poles and sewage lines and those types of things coming into the land?
Not really. I mean, I want legal access. I want somebody to be able to access the property. But other than that, I mean, I'm really pretty flexible as far as what I'll buy now.
Yeah.
You know, because I learned this the hard way. Like, I remember going out and looking at property in New Mexico with my buddy and there's all this property, like super cheap, like nothing. And, you know, we went out and looked at it. I mean, Clayton, I'm not exaggerating. It looked like Chernobyl. It was the ugliest property I'd ever seen. And I said, there's no way anyone's going to buy this. And if they do buy it sight unseen, when they go look at it, they're going to want a refund and they're probably going to want to sue you. So he bought all of it and Long story short, in 6 months, he made like $100,000 on the deal. Not one refund, not one lawsuit. And I kept hazing him because he would keep emailing me the sale, like another sale. And I'd email him back, refund. And then I'd email him back, refund/lawsuit. And it just never happened. So after that, I'm like, well, gosh, there really is a pig for every barn. Yeah. Just because I'm not the buyer doesn't mean someone wouldn't want to go out there and use it for something.
Right. And what about mobile home investing? I know that you're a lot of times, obviously, mobile homes are sat on land that's also being leased, right?
So I love the mobile home investing model, if in the sense that you don't own the home, because I don't want anything physical. But if I can rent the lot rent, if I can rent the dirt to somebody that already owns that mobile home, that's phenomenal. So I would say that my model is the gateway drug into mobile home investing, where you can start doing, $1 million deals and then start going to multifamily. But you want to use like that Frank Rolfe type model where he doesn't own the homes. He just owns the dirt and he rents the dirt to the mobile homeowner. Hmm.
Interesting. So let's talk about taxes and let's talk about a down economy. So for me, owning structures and having the ability to claim depreciation and all of those, the benefits of owning it for the rest of my life and handing it down to my kids is one of the main reasons that I invest. What about land? How does it affect your taxes?
So, the way that we handle the depreciation issues, because, land lasts forever. You can't depreciate it. So what we'll do is we'll invest a portion of our money using a QRP, a qualified retirement plan. So a Roth or a SEP, right? And so in the QRP, you can have both vehicles. And then that way my money grows at 300 to 1,000% tax-free or tax-deferred. And that's where we really get our benefit is using that type of retirement vehicle to invest in raw land. So we'll do that. And then if we buy something in the path of growth, we'll just put it in our trust and we'll hold it forever.
So in the path of growth, maybe Walmarts are going in or some Amazon distribution center. Great. And then you just hold it. And then what have you had that happen where, like an Amazon comes to you and says, we want to buy the land?
Yeah, I have. And it's like, because I've been doing it forever. So, the typical land investing model, like if you're a land banker, is it's a hockey stick, right? So it's real flat. And all of a sudden development comes and boom, you get that big hit. And, you've all heard the story about the person that, made billions of land buying, 10 years before the growth hit.
Hmm. So when you're looking and trying to track down these properties, where do you start? Where do you start to look for? You mentioned some of the different websites that are out there and going to the county, but is there like a particular website you kind of go to kind of start doing some research?
Yeah. I mean, it's called Google. So I might just put in some keywords in there and I'll see some listings and then from there I'll kind of dig deeper. But yeah.
And you start digging through, find different counties, different areas. When you're looking about growth and you've done your research, obviously, to say the Southwest, parts of California, what are you looking for? Like, why not Wisconsin or why not?
I've done deals in Oklahoma and I've done deals in Pennsylvania and I've done deals in Arkansas. It's just in Tennessee. But your biggest buyer pool is in these areas where somebody in New York is like, oh my gosh, how great would it be to have 40 acres in Arizona one day?
Right.
You're like, oh my gosh, it's 5,000 down, 500 a month. That's like, they don't even feel it. Right. So that's cool for them.
And how often do they revert? I mean, how often do they revert back to you, right?
So in a bad economy, we're looking at a 10% default rate. And in a good economy, we're looking at a 5% default rate.
So where they're just like, okay, I bought this land, Mark, you know what? I'm not going to do anything with this stuff. So I'm just going to walk away from it. And it reverts back to you. And you get to go back to the buyer pool again and try to pull the trigger again.
Exactly.
Talk about since you've been doing this since 2001, you obviously went through the big recession. I've often heard it joked that, there are things people give up, right? When they're going through a recession, they're about to lose their job. They give up, they would even give up their car. They'll give up their cable subscription. They'll give up. I imagine though, wouldn't they give up raw land that they own? Would that be something they would kind of?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was a bloodbath. And what's interesting about that though is I didn't get hit really hard until 2010. So yeah, we're like on the long tail of real estate. So when housing goes down, we're like a little bit behind housing. And then when housing recovered, we didn't recover until a few years later either. So I would say in a, like what was 2010 for me was like the Great Depression without the breadlines. And I want to say 40% of my note portfolio came back. And then it took a couple years to kind of get back and resell. Now, we were still profitable, but it was, you know, Mark had to lower his expenses. Like my overhead had to go way down.
Right, right. Well, that's great. So are there any other things that people need to look out for? I mean, if they're going to get started in this, where, you know, where should they start and what should they look out for?
I mean, I think you've really got to understand your due diligence. You've got to understand, you know, as far as ingress and egress, you've got to understand how deeds work. You've got to understand liens and encumbrances. And once you kind of get that under your belt, and you can always go to an abstractor for $80 or, you know, title company, but you really need to have due diligence and some basic knowledge of how that all works before you start doing this. And then just understanding your market and doing market research and never overpaying. You know, if you see the comps are, you know, X amount, divide by four, make your offers. So it's a really simple model.
That's great. Well, it's fascinating. And I've certainly, you know, I've enjoyed like learning about raw land. It's fascinating to me, you know, to think that the people that would buy it, you know, are out there on their ATVs or what they're going to do. Have you, I'm curious about the doomsday preppers. You've sold a lot to doomsday preppers?
Oh, they love it. They yeah. love it. They sometimes they're picky. So they, you know, they're like burying stuff out there. They're, I don't, you know what? I don't ask. I just know like they'll ask odd questions. Like, can I bury a home in the ground? I'm like, sure. Not a problem. You know, they want to know about the water table. They need water. They want to grow crops kind of thing.
Yeah.
But you know, that kind of property is perfect. You know, military love this property. They want to be away from people, and people that don't like people love this land. There's a lot of people that just don't like people.
Right. Yeah, they just don't want to be near other people.
They don't want to be near other people. Yeah. They want to ride their horses.
What about the tiny house movement?
Tiny house movement is great for this. Absolutely. Yeah.
Are they building like permanent structures? A lot of the tiny houses are on wheels, right?
On wheels. Perfect.
So they wheel it into a piece of land that they're renting from you.
Yeah, exactly.
That's funny. That's amazing. Well, Mark, thank you so much for being on the show. How can people connect with you and learn more about the buying and selling, buying and holding of raw land?
So I would say go to thelandgeek.com, thelandgeek.com. And Clayton, if they email us support@thelandgeek.com and just say, you know, Clayton Morris or Clayton with Morris Invest, we'll send them for free the $97 passive income launch kit. And they can really get a handle if this is the right model for them or not. It's a really great subscription model. It's a great side hustle for people. But I like what you said at the beginning. I mean, if you're focused and you're doing well in single family, buy and hold, buy and flip, you know, don't get shiny object syndrome for sure. But if you're still out there looking for a simple model, this one's great.
Yeah, I say explore it all and see what works for you, what sticks in your craw, you know, and gets you excited about it. So, Mark, it's been my pleasure having you here on the show, my friend. Continued success, and thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Clayton. I appreciate it.
And thanks to all of you for downloading and subscribing. We really appreciate you making us one of the top podcasts out there in the real estate section. And thank you so much for all of your kind feedback last week as we had the big promotion by Apple. So thanks for all your emails about that. I really appreciate it. We want to say we're going to be back here with another episode on Monday. So following Mark's episode, we'll be back on Monday with another episode of the Investing in Real Estate podcast. So go over to our show notes page, check out everything that Mark talked about, go visit his website and see if that is all a fit for you. Now go out there, regardless of if it's raw land, single family homes, billboards, I don't care what it is. Just go out there, take action, and become a real estate investor. It's the best way. Much love to you all.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.